because contrary to popular belief, I do love the Thanksgiving season as well. But we could definitely do to think a little more about it. So we're going to go to Psalm 100 tonight. Most of my sermons that I write are out of Psalms. And I kind of keep hold of them for a night such as this. There's a lot to be found in the Psalms. And there's a lot of lessons to be learned. But we should just read the whole chapter. I just got one verse wrote down, but we're going to read the whole chapter of Psalm 100. It's a whole 5 verses, so bear with me. It reads, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Now when we think of the subject of thanksgiving, or the subject of being thankful, I'm reminded of how the subject is treated with a lot of remiss in the world today. We live in a world that's not thankful-centered, but instead is, what can I get next? We live in a fast-paced world where it's one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. Everything is updated either yearly or bi-yearly just to try and keep people's attention on that product and keep their business running. Of course, the housing market, if houses lasted forever, people would most likely stay in that house forever and there would be no market. So there has been, rumors of inspectors and everything messing stuff up just so that house has to be either torn down and replaced, keeping the construction business in market, or not. So even in that respect, we live in a world that we're not focused on what we have right now, it's focused on the next thing we could have. And that even goes through, why is McDonald's so successful? It's not because they serve hamburgers, it's because they're readily available to anybody that is driving through that day. So the subject of thankfulness is treated not so much as a constant mindset, but as a passing feeling, usually in the time of November, whatever, the last Thursday in November. Thankfulness is granted is about 2 weeks, if that, out of the year for remembrance. That's about as long as the thankfulness thought is kept around. And while I was teaching Sunday school and seeing the emphasis that's placed on remembering, it causes me great distress and urgency that the subject is so often neglected in the church and as well as in our individual hearts. As I harp on in Sunday school all the time, anything that is to be long-lived or remembered is to start in your own heart and played out in your own life. It doesn't start in the church, it starts in your heart. And during this time of what we call Thanksgiving, it might be time to re-examine how we approach our own Christian lives. And Thanksgiving is not something you learn during worship, but rather is something that has to be alive and practiced before worship is introduced to it. And think with me, how can you improve this, the quality of your own lives? That's what we're focused on. Thankfulness is taught to our children, not as something to keep us content in our lives, but as something to improve our own lives. Everything that is taught to our children nowadays is taught as something that can improve them as people or their lives as individuals now, instead as something that helps us remain content. Why is that distinction made? Why do you think? We got two sides to that coin. When it's there to improve your own life, there's self-motivation to get this done and to remember this. But when it's there to improve your contentness, if you will, it's there to improve your spiritual life. Because godliness with contentment is great gain. So in order to achieve contentment, we must first live in a mindset of thankfulness. Thankfulness is not writing out on a piece of paper what you're thankful for every year. Thankfulness is not going up to somebody and saying, "Man, I'm glad you're in my life. Thank you for being here." You don't have to be constantly saying thank you, even though it is polite, and I encourage my kids to do it. That is not true thankfulness. Thank you can be a habit. Thankfulness is a state of mind. Lost my place, but here we go. If you want to get close to God and truly love and understand His Word, you have to consider this thought of thankfulness. This mindset of thankfulness is something that's lost in our world, and it shows. Here we are coming up on Thanksgiving, and what do you hear about the most? Turkey. You hear about Turkey Day. What else do you hear about?
Football.
You hear about Thanksgiving football, especially when you're down in Alabama. What else do you hear about?
Christmas.
I'm all for, I can't argue that point. But moving on, what I'm trying to get is Black Friday sales. I'm surprised. Now, most of us aren't shoppers because we're broke, so I mean, that's why it's the last thing to come to our minds. But that is what happens. I mean, Thanksgiving comes up. I mean, you get out of October, barely out of October, not even hardly. But let's just say this. You move from October 31st to November 1st, and it's not Thanksgiving Day is coming up. Remember the less fortunate. Invite them to your house, all that good stuff like we used to hear. Now it's Black Friday sales, just everywhere. And it starts on Thursday, November whatever, that day is at 5 p.m. So instead of embracing this season of thankfulness, the only way we embrace it is put up fancy decorations that say give thanks. Fancy decorations that says Happy Turkey Day. Fancy decorations with pumpkins. You know, we kind of just turn our jack-o'-lanterns around, everyone else does, to where it's a whole pumpkin instead of a carved pumpkin now. And so we've even taken that aspect out of it, where it's just integrated with three other holidays in fall, which are fall festivals, Halloween, and of course Thanksgiving. The decorations are the same. You just turn your pumpkins around, you put hay bales out, all that good stuff. But what's it for? It's no longer a day of national remembrance or national Thanksgiving, a national day with family where people actually get off and can be with their family and remember this as it was, as it's supposed to be. Instead, it's a transition for all retail stores from fall into the Christmas shopping season. It is the proverbial kickoff of us taking upon ourselves to satisfy our lusts for what we want. So instead, this mindset of Thanksgiving has been turned into a mindset of me. Me's giving to me. It is not Thanksgiving, it's buys giving for me. Thanksgiving isn't a holiday. It's not a thought or an eloquent poem or even a well-thought-out paper. Everyone always has this poem they like to post on Facebook on Thanksgiving about how thankful they are before they post about how they broke an arm digging out an Xbox 4 or whatever is going on now out of the pallet when they opened it up.
Yeah.
It's a state of life. And here in Psalm 100, he lays it out plain for you in almost steps. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." And it also says that you're supposed to know ye that the Lord, He is God. So part of understanding this contentment, this thankfulness, this joy that comes with Psalm 100 is knowing, one, that the Lord, He is God, and it is He that hath made us and not ourselves.
Right.
We have made ourselves a God out of us. That God that is of love, as I spoke of this morning, is often the God of love that is ourselves. It is that God that allows you to come to church whenever you feel like it and still be accepted. It is that God that allows you to say that you can profess one thing one day and burn your Bible and throw your suit in the dumpster the next day and still be as saved as the next person. It is not how it is. Living how you want to live is not how God wants you to live. It says, "We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." And that's a representation of humility. When I go out and see a sheep, that is not something I want to be associated with, you know, generally. I mean, I'm looking at the ground, I'm eating grass, I got to be broken the leg if I keep going somewhere I'm not supposed to go. I got to keep being dragged back to where I'm supposed to be. It's a dumb animal. It is not something I look at a sheep and say, "Man, one day I want to be a sheep." It's a humiliating thing to be willing to associate with the sheep. But it's not that you're a sheep that you're proud of. It's that as sheep, we've gone astray, but we have a shepherd. We're not proud of the fact that we're sheep. We're thankful to the fact that we have a great shepherd, and that is willing to go get us, and that we can follow and will not lead us astray. And knowing that, with that peace of mind, you truly have a joy that no one can understand. You truly have a peace with you that passes all understanding. It's not that we know and can figure it out, because if we associate with our sheep, if we're associated with sheep, we know we're not going to figure anything out except how to eat and chew cud. But we know we have a shepherd that knows, that understands, that leads. And that, you know, most shepherds, if you ask them, say they talk to their sheep in order to build a better relationship with their flock. Most people would call you crazy. However, it's really good to draw that comparison. And the sheep hear his voice and know him. So why do we need that? That mindset of thankfulness is a humility. Starts with a humility. That though we do not deserve anything we have, we still have it. And that they are nothing but gifts from the Lord given in his tender mercy and understanding and love. It's a state of life. And we are to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Now, what are we supposed to enter into his gates thankful for? If you would ask most people today, you'd say we'd be thankful for what we are going to get in the near future. There is I almost call it a radical prayer life, where they say, if you pray and tell God what you're going to get, he's obligated to give it to you because you have said it. You have spoken it into existence. Because God's obligation is not to turn back on his promises, quote unquote. He's supposed to give you the desires of your heart. Taking that verse in context, we all know what that truly is. However, that actually growing, I don't even know what you call it, division of prayer groups, that's how it is. They enter into his gates with thanksgiving that he is going to give them this within the next X amount of time, or he's not God anymore. Or they'll find a God that will, and they'll call him the same God. So it's not what he's going to give us, but what for he has already given us. It's what he's given us. He's given me 3 beautiful children and a wife in reverse order. And I surely don't deserve it. She treats me too well. And the kids, sassy as they are, they're pretty good kids. But I don't deserve that. It's not what I think I would give me, because let's face it, I'm grossly unprepared. And without the Word of God, I wouldn't be able to do it at all. But you see, I understand that it's not his obligation to give me a wife and kids. And that is a lot of single people's problem right now, is that they preach, Baptist churches preach to them that you go to Bible college to select an education, select a spouse, usually in reverse order. Usually you go to college and it's like wife shopping. You know, you just... It's like, what's that app, the dating app, where you just swipe to the side? It's like that, yeah, Tinder. It's like you go on there and it's like Tinder for Baptists. You just swipe through and whatever girl you think you like. And then it's God's will. If you like her, you're like, hey, you know, I think it's God's will for us to be together. And it just happens. And it goes both ways. Women are sent to Bible college to find a husband, a suitable husband. I don't know what they're going to college for, except for maybe home economics. But, you know, because what are they supposed to do? But we live in a culture that you're not content with where God has put you. And you're on one side of the fence or another. Either you're getting sent to Bible college for a spouse, or you're being preached to about how Paul was single. And there's no happy medium. I mean, there's no middle ground. This mindset of thankfulness is not about one way or the other. It's about where God has put you in your life. And it's sounding a little Joel Osteen-y right now, but come through it now. It's where God has put you in your life, and is you as a sheep trusting that you are following where he's leading, and that it is his will that you're there, and not that you put yourself there by a bunch of stupid mistakes. And you can know that if you stay in the Word and study His Word and truly want to know God. So we're not here to get what we want or for God to give in to our ransom demands should He want us to serve Him. But we are here to get our daily bread, not our daily five-course meal. Even in the Bible, that is the way we ought to pray. To get what God has for us, whether it be little or much, whether it's a little watering can or whether it's a rainstorm in heaven. God's provision is not to give us $5,000 paychecks, although that would be nice. But He is, if He gives us $100, if He gives us $500, or He gives $5,000, God's provision is there.
Yes, that's right.
You cannot maintain a spirit of anxiety over your bills and a spirit of thankfulness at the same time. And take it from the guy who doesn't, well, you know what I mean, who doesn't know what he's going to bring home in a month, there is anxiety. But you know what overcomes it is, I was able to pay my bills this month. I will be able to pay my bills next month, whether I bring home in my check what I need or not. A spirit of thanksgiving is thank you for being able to pay this many bills. Now, I know you know what you're doing, but I sure don't know what I'm going to do about these other bills. But I give it to you. You are to be thankful in all things, as Paul said. Now, we aren't being beat, whipped, and thrown in chains. But, you know, we can do our best with what we got. You know, we've recently been through where we brought home a paycheck that is not going to pay the bills. But you know what happened? All the bills were paid. Seemingly out of nowhere. God knows what you need. And we ought to be thankful and ought to know Him well enough that we know that. So I think the hardest part of what I'm saying is that this attitude of thanksgiving doesn't mesh well with many of the modern attitudes of what we ought to be doing and what we ought not to be doing. The spirit of thanksgiving does not mean we sit and do nothing over the course of however long we're here. This spirit of thanksgiving is not where we sit and wait for God to give us everything like some sort of government handout. Thank goodness He's better than the government, right? But God, you need to let Him lead you. You need to be willing to be led. You need to be willing to be unsure sometimes. And believe me, there's a lot of times of unsurety. But in those times of unsurety, it is very tempting to grab up whatever we can to make it work for us.
Yes.
To make our own security in what we're doing. But thankfulness isn't like that. It's full reliance on God for what you're going to get and full thankfulness for what you do have. If you can take hold of the reins of your mind and manage to live a thankful life, then the next step is not a hard one. Entering into His courts, singing praises for His great provisions. This shows me another thing as well, that being thankful and praising are two separate acts. But they're totally reliant on one another. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. That's two different things. And they're two different levels. And they're outside one another. You cannot get into His courts, which most of you are familiar with the difference between a court, a gate, and a building. It's three levels of one place. The gate is you're outside and you're entering in, and you get in the courts. And from the courts, generally, you could get into the quarters of the house. A court was a beautiful garden where you kind of refreshed yourself from coming in on the outside in order to enter into this house. The Chinese still have them, and they rest their shoes outside in the court before going inside or changing into a pair of slippers. It's kind of a lost art here in America, but over in the Asian cultures and everything, it's still a huge thing. But it's where you are to stop and refresh before you go in the house. Make sure you're not dirty. Make sure you got the proper shoes on. It's making sure you are set to go in that building. So to enter into His gates with thanksgiving is to make sure that you are straight with the Lord and in your life. It is to make sure that spirit and that you are prepared for the next step into this building? Are you prepared to go in unto the Lord on a Sunday morning? On a Monday morning? On a Tuesday morning? You see, this is not just coming into the church. This is an everyday thing in your life. God is not an open and shut door that you can open, shut, turn on and off, whatever you want to do. You see, this is a constant thing to enter into His courts with thanksgiving, His gates with thanksgiving, and courts with praise. So are you ready to take that next step? To live thankfully is one thing, but to praise the Lord is a deliberate act that has to be consciously decided to do. You can get into a mindset and a programming of being thankful, but if you decide to take that thankfulness and say, man, I'm just so great that I'm thankful. You know, I'm so thankful I ought to get an award for this. I probably ought to get a plaque on the church or something, you know. I probably ought to write a paper. I ought to write a book on how to be thankful. That would sell. That is not true thankfulness. We are thankful to the Lord and we praise Him for His provision. We praise Him for being there. We praise Him because He is our Heavenly Father. We have to keep our minds on the Lord and keep a mindset that keeps the thankfulness and praise flowing, if you will. And if you lose sight of the Lord, then it's going to be easy to focus on the doom and gloom that is ever present in our life. You know, families fell apart, love started being interpreted in gifts or money, and selfishness and gluttony took over the reason for this holiday that we have now. You hear it all the time about Black Friday sales, and, you know, I'm going to do this thing where you say, tell me if you've heard it before, but people just left the table for being thankful, and now they're being greedy and beating up people for a good deal. I've heard it several times. And even at the dealership we hear, well, we're all done. You go back Friday and make some more money, you know. That's incorrect. People left the table twofold a move, for one. People have started eating earlier now so that they can sleep before they go to the Black Friday sales. They have taken a nap, and then they have come shopping. And take it from the person who used to be a supervisor at Walmart. It is not pretty. If you've ever been there, they are lined up around what they want. And if they are not, by the time that bell rings and says Black Friday is here, then they will fight their way to where they're going. Retail stores take the liberty of blocking off aisles and making like cattle herd aisles to the registers to keep them in a line. That would be great in an active shooter situation, but you can only go so many places. They block off aisles. It's a square. Everything's a one-way square in that store. Yep. And then at the base of this square are lines from the front of the store to the back of the store, guiding you to one register or another, where associates will guide you and herd you like cattle. I'm surprised we have not gotten tasers or cattle prods yet to help in that act. However, it has been done year after year. There are some people attempted to bring one, but we're not going there. However, their whole day was planned around this heavy activity of grabbing and growling and running. They came to whoever's house, who they either made dinner or they ordered it, like most do now, and then ate themselves sick, tolerated the annoying relative, and then all the while staying on their phone and making a list of what they're going to buy later for themselves. There was never any thankfulness involved. They don't care about family. They don't care about God or even the word thankful. They live for the three-day weekend, for those who are not in retail, the food, and the sales. And that's all this is about to them. You cannot be a true Christian and live this way. The spirit and the mindset and the lifestyle of thankfulness is a character trait of God's children. It is a character trait of one who truly wants to know the Lord and that does know the Lord and wants to take the proper steps to get to know Him better. Thankfulness, again, is not a holiday. It's the way you live and worship God, and this modern culture has robbed that from Him and has so infused this generation with it that it's almost impossible to fix it. The church is useless because we want to spend our time and money on wants and self instead of mission or repairs. Most churches now have to have a school or you're a failure. Because that's an outreach, don't you know? It's an outreach. It's the way we reach our children. It's the way we brainwash parents, help parents. It's what we need to do. But look at all the churches that have schools and where they are now. We made that, who was it that made that push back in the, I don't even remember when it was, the 80s, 70s, or 80s, where church schools became a huge thing. And you had to have one. And so that was the outreach. But now look at them. They're nothing but a command center for compromise and discounts and bringing people into the church just for a discount. They've turned the church into something that can benefit you in the way of the school instead of the school benefiting the church. And that's always the way it's going to go. So be nice to support another missionary, but we need a school. Pastor needs a raise. Pastor needs a new Tahoe. Seeing that happen. What's happened? No thankfulness. You're always wanting more. The church is always wanting more in all the wrong places. And we're compromising right in all the wrong places. Praise has become about emotional response instead of spiritual gratitude. Praise about who He is, not what He gave you or what He's doing for you in the moment. True thankfulness is not about what we got or what we have. It's about realizing how great a salvation He's provided and the family, blood, or spiritual that He's given you. I can say that I'm glad that I'm part of a family of God. I could say that I'm thankful to have a church, not only that mostly is family, but the ones who aren't feel like family. And we all get along like family. And most of us wouldn't know what to do if we didn't have each other, one another. And I have people outside this building that share my thoughts on thankfulness. And though we don't agree on everything doctrinally, we can agree that Jesus is Lord and that He gave His Son for our salvation and that Christians nowadays have blown it out of proportion, or Jesus is just some cool dude who is like a magic wand and waves and poof, you're saved. And that's not the way it is. We sing five-word songs, well, in church, quote-unquote church now, about how great He is, but they don't even know who He is. They don't know who they serve. All they know is that they serve their emotions every Sunday morning. They serve their mindset and feed it that God is there for you. There is a billboard that is super popular, and I see it every now and again still. It says, God is for you. Does it mean God is for you? Like, God's for you. He can make your life better. But I did some research into it, and it's more like God is for you. Whether you're whatever walk of life you're in, whether you believe in Him or not, God is on your side. And that is wrong. And that takes away from the sanctity of our thankfulness that He is on our side now because we are on His. Don't just praise in church. Praise Him for His excellent greatness always. Strive to enter into His gates with thanksgiving daily so that you can dwell in the courts of praise. And be thankful unto Him, bless His name, like verse 4 indicates, which is that last step. Thanksgiving leads to praise, leads to thankful unto Him. So you're supposed to enter His gates with thanksgiving, but then you get all the way in and you're thankful unto Him and bless His name, putting the two together in a much deeper perspective. Instead of just having a mindset of being thankful, you have a direct thank you. A focused, honed in, understanding, humble thank you to the one who saved you, the one who maintains you, and you will bless His name.